You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out JMBullion.com today. This is the second half of my interview with Brad Harris of Full Spectrum Survival. Enjoy the show. What are your thoughts on Susan Rice's involvement with using U.S. intelligence to spy on the Trump campaign?
I take my thoughts back on that because one thing, you and I, including this show that we're listening to, and everyone listening every single day by our government. And I say, okay, well, to think that a candidate for presidency wouldn't be spied on against their knowledge or against their will is sort of idiocy, because you and I are spied on every single day. Our data podcast is going through, every email that we send goes through major hubs, and that information is pulled apart, read for threats, and then passed along. So to think that this wouldn't happen on a national and multinational scale, I think is a misdirection. We're looking at this the wrong way. The problem is that you and I are spied on every day, and we don't have a position of power, and we don't have really cause damage to the government, the continuity of government, or other governments. But I do think that there is a lot of corruption, and that corruption is coming to a head. Unfortunately, even with our new administration here, we are being denied the ability to stand up against that corruption, and we're being denied the ability to protest. This is becoming a new trend within the U.S. government, where they're working to make protesting illegal at its core. And what they're doing is they're doing the wrong things for the right reasons. They don't want violence in the streets. They don't want grandma's car being broken into or the shops being broken into. So they're making protesting illegal. They need to stand up and protest. It's going to be illegal for us.
And the same thing, I think, you know, the Vault 7 WikiLeaks dump. Do you think that there's a tendency for people to say, when my guy's in office, I'm less concerned about him having the keys to this monster, which is inherently evil in and of itself? And do conservatives get complacent about government spying and all of our information being passed through the Utah database and collected and gone through and everything in our daily lives? And just recently, TSA has upped their protocol for pat downs, whereas there's no more staged pat downs. If you're going to get a pat down, you're going to get the sort of the full Monty.
Yeah, I think that you touched on something there that's very important, and that's that we are all suffering from complacency. Because if you look only 6 or 7 years ago, when we discussed that every call was monitored by the government, it was an unproven conspiracy. And so at that time, everybody just said, well, yeah, okay, maybe they are, but there was no way to prove it. Now we have so much data that proves without a shadow of a doubt that every piece of data that we use is spied upon. The CIA now, and I don't know how much you've read into the Vault 7 release, and we have to remember that this is just a small bit of what's happening. The tools to evade law enforcement forensics and use that to get into a person's personal electronic dossier and then get out. And law enforcement in the United States will have no way to see that they're there. For anyone who has a background in computer forensics or technological forensics, will know that there is only so much that the average forensics person can look for. There's only so many footprints. There's only so much data that they can look for. And now the CIA has the ability, the proven ability, to get in there, plant data, and get out, so that without a shadow of a doubt, the law enforcement agencies, the forensics teams will look at it and say, this person did this. So how often is that being used? How often are we looking at things like, we just saw another piece of the Vault 7 release that said the CIA has the ability to frame other countries for hacks. Well, what are we seeing in the mainstream right now? We're seeing that Russia hacked the voting system, or that North Korea is hacking this and that. We're seeing this happen, but yet we also see true data that was leaked that says the CIA has the ability to do this. And I think it comes back to sort of a common problem of complacency, and that's that we have forgotten that the U.S., along with every other government of the world, tries their hardest to manipulate other governments, manipulate other societies and other countries for control. And at the end of the day, the U.S. government has one job, and that's to govern the people. So in their form of governing the people, that's you and I, the citizens of the United States, the way that they govern us is to make sure that we do three things. We go to work, we pay our taxes, and we stay happy. And sort of you can model all of society around that governance. So see, that really struck a key with me, because you're absolutely right. We have all become complacent, enormous infringement on our rights as a free people. And I don't mean free as in I can go my whole world as a sovereign citizen my whole life without a driver's license or without paying taxes. I mean free as in I was born not into slavery. But yet we are spied upon. We are categorized. And we are essentially guilty until proven innocent. So I think that we all have to take that look at complacency and say it's not just that we feel better or worse because one puppet master is standing at the helm of the U.S. government. We should say what is happening is wrong no matter what. Or even better than that, how can you and I avoid that? And there are a few ways that we can avoid that. We can take advantage of the Tor system. For anyone who doesn't know what Tor is, it is a not perfect, but sort of one of the best options out there for encryption of data. And it passes your data. So if you use like something as simple as the Tor browser, which everyone I suggest goes and downloads, and if you go and Google search, let's say you're making a purchase for the weekend, or you're making a purchase for summertime, and you want to purchase a pressure cooker, but then in 2 weeks from now, you also want to purchase a box of nails. These might be legitimate purchases, but without a doubt in my mind, if you do this with no encryption, you're flagged because you have just purchased a pressure cooker and shrapnel. God forbid you purchase some propane or something else that could go along with it. You might have no ill intent, as I certainly don't. But if we don't encrypt our data, if we don't remove that infringement of privacy, like the Tor browser, and what it does is it's going to jump your data through encryption over and over again through a couple of different nodes. And finally, when it's looked at on the opposite side, it looks nothing like the data that went in on your side. But then when it's given back to you, it's exactly what you want. So while it's not perfect, and while the CIA has worked very hard, the FBI has worked very hard to set up their own nodes so that they can monitor traffic, they're only able to really infiltrate the Tor network about 10% of the time. And that can be easily thwarted by you and I doing different things, such as not, logging into the same anonymous email multiple times. It just becomes a matter of the new way of life if you don't want to be subject to the thought policing and the, really far past Orwellian totalitarianism and information tyranny that we're seeing.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
In the Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. Everett and Courtney Carl have survived the Seven Seal Judgments, which devastated the planet. But have their efforts to stay alive been in vain? The next series of judgments to fall upon the earth are known as the seven trumpets. Within this series of cataclysms is the earth's collision with a giant asteroid known as Wormwood. The comet will poison much of the planet's freshwater supplies, making survival nearly impossible. With each subsequent trumpet judgment, their odds of living grow slimmer. If Everett and Courtney are to survive, they'll need perseverance, faith, and a great outpouring of providence from the Almighty. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
We're 6 months past the election, and the rhetoric between the left and the right doesn't seem to be getting any better. Where do you think all of this division's heading?
Anytime that you have opposition, you want to conquer and control them through division. And I think we're at a place right now, not just in the United States of America, but in the entire world, where citizens of this earth are standing up against what they don't like. And sometimes it's squashed very hard. You look at Bahrain. Right now, if you're in Bahrain and you say anything that goes against the government grain, you are thrown in jail and eventually going to be beheaded. If you look at areas like Turkey, where right now Turkey is a Western-backed, a U.S.-backed dictatorship, they are purging all of the academics, Erdogan. They are purging voice. And they have had over 40,000 arrests, kidnappings, disappearances that are related to people who said anything against the pro-government grain. We see this happening all over the world. And in the United States right now, I think everybody looked at this past election and said, wow, there is a great division between the citizens of the U.S. And that division, unlike elections past, where everyone sort of remembered what party they belonged to for a couple of months and then it died down, in one form or another, it stuck with people. And it created a division within their own mind that has shattered families. It has driven people against each other. And I think there's only one long-term game here. And that long-term game will be social unrest. And that social unrest will lead to greater control.
Do you think we could have a civil conflict?
I have seen in my program, one of the key values that I look for is civil unrest, civil war, social unrest, a couple of those keywords. Civil war has been notated in the last 6 weeks in regards to U.S. citizens more than it has in the last 6 years. There's been a huge spike in the mainstream narrative of civil war and division. Now, why is this? We all know that mainstream media, all media really, is used to manipulate video games where youth are supposed to invest themselves into video games. They're supposed to really get all their anti-government anger out. They're supposed to get all of their, violence out through the video games and then still wake up and go to work the next day. The mainstream media, they are literally shaping the thoughts of their participants and readers. Civil war been mentioned so many times recently. That's the question we should be asking ourselves. Is this an implantation, a thought implantation, so that people even consider it? Because remember, it only takes the consideration of one person to change an event. You look at social unrest where there's a riot. It only takes one person to start to be violent, and it's a cascading event after that. So is this new mention of civil war a drive to get this thought into the minds of the people? It very well could be. I know that the militaries of the world are preparing for it. The U.S. military and their NGO counterparts, as well as their think tanks, have recently been preparing for quoted mega city conflicts. There's only a couple of places in the world that you have mega cities. You're looking at places like China and here in the United States and a couple of others. So why are they preparing for mega city conflicts? That's something we should be asking ourselves.
And if a conflict were to break out, what's your advice to conservatives living in socialist and communist hotbeds like New York or LA?
Situational awareness will win the day every single time. So if you see this continuing trend toward social unrest, if you see really a conflict of any type, you need to look at it, know it for what it is, and act first to get out before everyone else does. And this really goes for any potential disaster. You need to act first and get out so that you're not stuck with your family in some evacuation shelter. You need to act first and grab your family and your go bags and get out. If you have social unrest, you need to see it for what it is. Out. And the same thing goes with potential pandemics like the bird flu.
And you need to be right now thinking about where you're going to go, how you're going to get there, multiple routes in case one route's blocked off. And then if you're in a relatively high population area, you could be in a very red state, but if you're in a metropolitan area, the chances are that most of your neighbors probably voted for Hillary, and if it comes down to a left right feud, you're going to be the bad guy. So even in a red state, the cities still typically are much more liberal.
And one of the biggest things as far as personal planning goes, you know, a lot of people have their redundant routes and they have their ability to get to their retreat location or to family who lives in a little bit more of a rural area. And they have that all planned out. But one thing that I've witnessed over and over again that people have not planned for is water on those routes. Plan your routes around your potential ability to get water. Without that, you have a huge risk. Learn the signs of where water is at. Most small birds, ants, honeybees, they will live within a human's walking distance of water. So use those clues. They're indicative of a local water source or nearby water. But plan your routes, even your redundant routes, around ways to get water. Get out with your family in the city if you live in a mega city and take a walk and learn your area and make concentric circle backup points. So if something happens at home, everybody knows to meet at the nearby store. Everybody knows to meet at an area farther out. If something happens on a countywide scale, everybody knows the next place to meet. One has this line of communication that they know how to get to the next spot. One of the things that I tell everybody is set predetermined times. So if it takes a person longer than X amount of time, whatever you feel is a good variable for the amount of time it should take in your wife or your children to get to a spot, have an indicator that shows you've been there and moved on to the next one. I keep a can of spray paint in my go bag because I have a code, and it's just a small picture that only my wife, children, and other retreat members know. And if they see that code, that means that I've been there and I've moved on to the next location. Without that, you'll have family members and you'll have friends and retreat members waiting at a location, even though you might have already moved on there, or vice versa. They might have moved on and you're waiting because you won't leave your wife. But yet she was on the other side of the town when the event happened and you both knew to meet here. So you wait there far longer. Or what if your first meetup area comes under violence or is some other reason unsafe? You need that code that says, I've been here and I've moved on.
Yeah, that's really, really good advice. So, Brad, tell us, how often do you do your World News Update?
The World News Update is 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Ironically, World News, except for major events, because of the drive of Western media and the mainstream media outlets, it sort of does take a break on the weekend. So I see a huge drop in kinetic activity. I see a huge drop in civil unrest in different areas of the world. It all sort of follows this Western Monday through Friday workday trend, which is very unique. very odd to me. So I use that time to, instead of putting the world news update on the weekends, I try to put a crisis tip or some sort of other survival related information out on our YouTube.
Yeah, and you do some really, really great stuff on Full Spectrum Survival on the YouTube channel. So tell the folks one more time where to find you and where to find all your work.
Yeah, if you want to see what I do, please go to YouTube, type in Full Spectrum Survival, or it's youtube.com/user/FullSpectrumSurvival. You'll see all the information there. Subscribe to us. Let us know what you want to see as far as the survival and preparedness information. I love taking that cue from people of all different stages, whether you're advanced, intermediate, just starting out. I want to take that cue, and if you have ideas, I might not know them, so please share with our community, because just like everybody out there, I'm no expert. I'm still learning at this, and you might have something that saves me a lot of time and a lot of struggle and effort that I will certainly enjoy learning. So please come over and share in our community.
Brad, thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you everyone for listening.
Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS 30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS 30 today.